Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
If you're just joining us, we are working on this series called The Hero's Journey to Awakening. And it's based on a book by Dr. Carol Pearson called The Hero Within. We're looking at six of the 12 archetypes that, according to Dr. Carl Jung, are abiding patterns that reside in our psyche, or what we might call our unconscious realm of mind. And we've been exploring how these psychodynamic processes unconsciously affect our mood, our behavior, our thoughts, our actions, you know, whether we are aware of them or not. Now, last week, we were working our way through understanding the archetype called the wanderer. And this week, we're going to continue with that a little bit and then move into the next archetype. For those who were not here last week, to review, the author explains that the archetype of the wanderer as being consciously taking one's journey, setting out to confront the unknown, and it marks the beginning of life at a new level. And for one thing, the wanderer makes the radical assertion that life is primarily not suffering, but rather it is an adventure. Whether the wanderer's journey is inward or outward, he or she makes a leap of faith to discard the old social roles, which they have worn to please and ensure safety, and try instead to discover who they really are and what they really want. So this idea of the wanderer is really an interesting dynamic. You know, it's sort of like we're looking at how where we are in life, the roles we've been playing, the things we've been doing that we may have outgrown. And a lot of times we find ourselves still sitting in those roles because we don't know where to go from here. But that's the idea of the wanderer. And the key thing to remember is a wanderer thought process is life is not about suffering, but it's about adventure. It's about going out and trying to find a new sense of self, especially this idea of who we really are and what we really want. So in last week's lesson, we talked about how a wanderer is often having a wilderness experience as they negotiate their way through answering the question, who am I and what do I really want? And while in the wilderness, some may question or ask, how long do I have to be in the wilderness? which kind of comes up as, you know, how long does one have to endure a turbulent, unfulfilling, uninspiring, unsafe job, career, relationship, place of habitat, or whatever one is enduring before coming to the realization that the unsatisfying or disturbing experience has fulfilled its purpose in your life? Everybody just catch that? All right? So this statement is based on a discussion we had in a previous lesson about how we draw experiences into our lives in order to have the opportunity to learn how to evolve beyond our present state of consciousness. You probably heard me say one time before, it's actually our soul that draws these experiences into our lives. And sometimes, you know, a lot of times you want to ask, why this experience? Okay? But the soul is saying there is something I need to work through, and this particular scenario is going to help me to grow and move beyond that. So the answer to the question, how long, is when we've learned what we need to learn from the experience. And once you've learned that, then the experience goes away and you move to the next one. And many of us may have found it, if you move, say, okay, well, if I move, you know, but you know, wherever I go, what? There I am, right? So each experience has embedded within it the potential for spiritual growth through awakening. And I think it's safe to say that growth usually means change, and change is often accompanied by turmoil and challenge. Even if it's a happy thing like moving from one house to another, but you know, there's a lot of turmoil in that. you know, the heartstrings are pulling from the place you've been, you know, while you're trying to develop a new feeling for where you're moving to. But all of these things can cause turmoil and challenge. So the dilemma or turmoil we experience in life usually comes when the inner growth happens and we begin to burst the seams of the role we are presently engaged in. So if you find yourself kind of outgrowing the experience you're having, but you're still in the experience, you're beginning to bust the seams of that role that you were playing. And at this point, our inner growth feels stifled because even though we are still in a particular experience or circumstance, we have no room to grow within that role that we have been playing. All right? Now, when this happens, we feel smothered, closed in. Our inner self is crying out for more room to grow, but the role we are presently in no longer offers any more room to grow. And this can happen when the job or the career no longer fits our newly evolving concept of ourselves. This can happen when the person or people that we're in relationship with no longer are willing to allow us to grow outside of the dynamics we've been in. Okay, so this is when the hero hears and feels the wanderer longing to break free of the present role and set out on a journey of self-exploration for the sake of greater inner discovery and inner growth. The desire to wander for the sake of inner growth and self-discovery is very specific to each individual. Okay? It is a part of your individuation process, which is the level of consciousness which one becomes aware of when one becomes aware of that they are very distinct, independent, and separate from those around them. Okay? You begin to wake up and begin to break free of that herd or tribal consciousness. All right? You kind of get that. And again, if you know the levels that we're dealing with here, remember, are herd or tribal. You do it because everybody else does it. The collective unconscious, which means there are many things that we do that we're totally unconscious of, but it's in unison with almost the conscience of the planet, of the race. Then there's race consciousness, and then the level we're talking about is individual consciousness. You begin to individuate yourself, see yourself as being distinct and different. Okay? Then the next level is self-consciousness and spiritual, and then Christ consciousness. But here we're talking about this idea of individuation, where I realize that I'm a distinct, independent, separate entity feeling the urge to break away from the herd and be different. Who's ever had that feeling? All right? So you know what I'm talking about. And you may remember that in last week's lesson, we defined the word individuation from the American Heritage Dictionary based on Jungian psychology. It said it's the process of individuation. The process of individuation is the gradual integration and unification of the self through the resolution of successive layers of psychological conflict. Basically, it's saying that we have layers of conflict. So, Margaret, remember when we all studied transcendental meditation together? So when we were studying transcendental meditation, the instructor was trying to describe what it was like. So she said, you know, you move into these deeper levels of self. She said, try to imagine that you get into this deeper level and you walk out to the beach. Okay? And on the beach, there's a herd of sleeping lions. So you want to get down to the beach, so you tiptoe very gently past the lions, so you don't wake them, right? And you get down and you have your little meditation time by the beach, and then you got to tiptoe back through the lions not to wake them up, right? And come out of the meditation. And you keep doing that, but each time you go down, you disturb the lions a little bit until one time you get down there and they're all awake, okay? But if you keep working on the meditation, eventually, slowly but surely, the lions begin to go away. All right. So then you come down to the beach and there you are. It's clear, beautiful beach and you can go down and meditate. All right. But then the next time you come down, there's a herd of sleeping elephants. So what this is saying is that we have layers. The process of individuation is a gradual integration and unification of the self through the resolution of successive layers of psychological conflict. So once you get through one thing, go, oh man, I'm glad I finally got my head wrapped around that. Before you know it, what happens? Something else comes up. Okay, so that's what it's saying, that the individuation process is being willing to deal with those levels as you get to them. Okay, so meaning as we resolve the psychological conflict within ourselves, we become more integrated and more whole. Now, the word integrate means to make whole by bringing all the scattered parts of ourselves into one unified whole. It is the goal of one who wants to grow spiritually to face the dragon of fear that seeks to keep us in mental and emotional conflict scattered throughout our own mind, heart, and soul. All right? So when you're ready to move, when you say, okay, I'm ready for something else, I'm ready to evolve, I'm ready to move, when you're ready to move, truly move, you will either move or you will be moved. All right? So if you're feeling like you need to move, but you know, it's kind of procrastinating, okay, you know, something in your life is going to move you, right? And so countless people, you know, countless numbers have heard the calling of the wanderer within. Right, within telling them it is time to continue on the hero's journey. And that again is why I mentioned this to you before. An excellent book to explain this is the parable, the story. I think it's called The Hero's Journey. I'll call it The Journey. By The Journey Home. Thank you. It's called The Journey Home. Thank you, sweetie. All right, by Lee Carroll or Cryon. Okay, but it walks you through the 12 houses of consciousness that you go to try to get to this idea of awakening. So anyway, you know, countless people have heard that calling, but listen carefully, but the journey is for heroes and heroines. And if you do not count yourself among them, you will not heed the calling. You get it? So it's a wanderer is calling for you to, or it's time for you to evolve, to move to the space that your heart is calling you to. But if you don't think of yourself as being a hero or a heroine, you're not going to heed that call, all right? So as is written in Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. And we like to say few choose. For, you know, few are ready and willing to break free of the social constructs they feel trapped within to embark on the hero's journey. And let's face it, one of the reasons for this is that wanderers often experience a sense of aloneness and ridicule for expressing the truth of who he or she has come to know himself as being from within. Okay? And so when you begin to wander, the folks around you are going, wait, where are you going? All right? Yeah, and so as you begin to break free, you're starting to feel kind of an aloneness and you're feeling ridicule. So in an earlier lesson, I quoted Dr. Pearson as saying, if you do not risk, if we try to play it safe by hiding in prescribed social roles instead of taking our journeys, we will feel numb. We will experience a sense of alienation, a void, and emptiness inside. And she goes on to say, people who are discouraged from slaying the dragons in their lives internalize the urge and end up declaring war on themselves. Okay? So, it is imperative in our spiritual journey that we resolve within ourselves the issues that arise from conflicts, challenges, and changes in our lives. The hero or heroine knows that it is our mission to face the dragons of conflict and to move forward, to resolve the fear, the anger, the unforgiveness within ourselves that fragments and scatters us to the far reaches of our own psyche. All right? Did you kind of get that? All right? So, you know, just as Jesus expressed as the good shepherd, he could not let any of his sheep stray from the flock. Well, neither can we. It is our mission as heroes and heroines to bring all those alienated parts of ourselves that have been scattered by the wolves of fear and worry back to the flock meaning back to the center of our spiritual center of spiritual thought and spiritual awareness, right? So no matter how ravaging the wolves may be, it's our job to go out into the aspect, different parts of ourselves, and pull all those thought processes back into the center. As it expressed in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. And the word ravaging means extremely hungry and hunting for prey. All right? So what's happening is that, you know, we say to ourselves, I need to break free. I need to go out. And I'm saying these things, but you have to have your own inner process of what that means. You get what I'm saying? Within yourself, what does that mean for you? Right? And as you go to do that, those wolves are trying to scare you to stay where you are. All right? And what happens, you get, you know, all of these dynamics inside yourself get scattered throughout your consciousness. Wholeness is when you bring all of those parts back together. All of the parts that even you don't want to face. That's the key. So, you know, so Father, you know, into thy hands I give my spirit, soul, mind, and body. Reveal in me that which needs to be revealed. Heal in me that which needs to be healed. Heal me deeply. You know, so when you say that, you're calling those alienated parts of yourself back so that they can be embraced and loved and reintegrated back into you. So the way that the hero and heroine deals with those challenging life circumstances that would scatter us from our divine center is by activating the archetype of the warrior. All right? So we're moving, the wanderer is now saying, well, I need to wander, but some of these things I got to do are kind of scary. That's when they need to pull in the archetype of the warrior. It takes a warrior to enter into those deeper places within our psyche and bring back to our spiritual center those experiences that will not let us forgive, that will not let us forget, that will not let us let go of the fear and anger and unforgiveness that has accumulated throughout our lives. And we know we all have those dynamics inside of us, all right? And, you know, no, I can't forgive you. I can't forget this. I can't let go, right? You know why? Because typically we don't have the courage to do that. But the warrior has the courage to do that, all right? So up to this point in our lives, we did not realize that every experience has embedded within it the opportunity to awaken to the divinity within ourselves. Jesus, the peaceful warrior, demonstrated the necessity of facing, not avoiding, the opportunity for spiritual growth. And that is what every experience of our life offers us the gift of, the opportunity to face and not avoid. In John, the 18th chapter, when Peter drew his sword and tried to stop the soldiers from taking Jesus, Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink from the cup which my Father has given me?" All right? And to drink from the cup is to know, really know from the depths of your heart that in truth you are surrounded and enfolded in unlimited abundance in spite of the appearance of lack and limitation. That you are whole and well in spite of the appearance of sickness. And that the light of love envelops and heals you of all forms of unforgiveness and fear and attack. Okay? And see, that's the thing, the challenge here is that the ego, that aspect of us that we think we're conscious of, doesn't realize that there is something about us that is beyond our concept of that who we are. All right? How many people saw Doctor Strange? You have got to see Doctor Strange. My granddaughter, Callista, who's only 6, she's into all those movies, all right? So we had her this weekend, so we had to watch those movies. And she's excited about the new one that came out Friday, but it has all of the Marvel characters in it. But she knew all of them, but she didn't know Doctor Strange. So we had to watch Doctor Strange, right? But that movie is an excellent metaphysical demonstration of how the ego can rise to such a high level of intellectual understanding. Dr. Stephen Strange was a brilliant neurosurgeon. Brilliant. So brilliant that he was just cocky about it. I mean, just super cocky about it. Until he has an accident that crushes his hands. All right. From there on, you got to go and see how he goes. But the thing that he did to try to get back to where he was, see, that's us, right? We always need to get back to where we are, is he began to discover that the thing he needed to do more than anything else was not heal his hands, but heal himself of the illusion of the ego. And the movie does an extremely good job of that, all right? So that's the idea. So Jesus also showed us that the peaceful warrior must continue on his or her mission, even though well-wishers and protectors may try to prevent our journey out of their blind emotion. All right? So Peter pulled his sword, trying to stop Jesus from doing what he had to do. And I say blind emotion because no one can possibly understand our spiritual journey unless they are intimately engaged in their own. Right? And they may not understand your journey, but they understand the journey. You get it? Okay? All right, so, and this is what happened in Matthew 16, 21 through 23. When Jesus was explaining to his disciples, he said, you know, they're going to take me, I'm going to be judged, I'm going to be flogged, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to resurrect. And Peter jumped up and explained that, I will not let that happen to you, Lord. And Jesus turned to him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but on the side of men. And all of us in our lives have had people who said, oh, no, don't do that. Okay? And yes, in some cases, the things of the wisdom that we have been given was good wisdom, you know, but still sometimes you don't know until you step in it yourself. You don't really know until you've had the experience yourself. So, and I know this may seem harsh, and you know, but only the individual warrior can know his or her destiny. The heroes and heroines who are truly awake to the spiritual unfolding process that's occurring within cannot be deferred from accomplishing their mission, not even by those who are trying to protect them. And this is a difficult thing to say, but many of the people like Peter who are trying to save us from our experiences for our sake are really trying to save us for their own sake. Okay. And it's by allowing ourselves to grow and expand and discover and experience through the activities of the wanderer archetype that we come into a greater sense of who we truly are, independent of social roles that we play. Okay. And again, you know, might even be some people here who experience it. You know, folks, we work a certain job for 30 years and all of a sudden we retire and who am I? You know, and so the idea of being able to separate yourself and understand who you are separate from the role. So it's only by knowing who we are and what we are truly capable of that we gain the courage to wander as peaceful warriors who have the courage to embark upon the hero's journey to spiritual awakening despite the challenging circumstances that we may find ourselves in. Okay. However, this is the warning. You know, everything comes with a warning. You got to read the label. As budding warriors, we must be careful. At a very basic primitive level of warriorship, heroes and heroines who are just entering the warrior archetype will often try to force their newfound sense of courage on others. Okay? We usually engage in overkill and end up alienating our others, you know, because of our newfound sense of self. But as we work through the warrior archetype and we become comfortable with our new sense of self, we become more gentle, compassionate, tolerant, and understanding. Okay? Now, many folks, when they first begin studying new thought, this new thought approach to scripture, they become childlike warriors intoxicated with their newfound knowledge of truth principles. We charge towards our spouses, friends, relatives, co-workers, children, preaching the truth that we know that they should accept as well, not realizing that we have not yet integrated that own truth into ourselves. You know, I'm trying to get you to believe this, and I don't fully believe it yet, okay? Warriors at this level do not allow others their own beliefs that differ from the new beliefs that they are sharing. So as warriors, do not try to overpower the beliefs of others in order to bring them to your version of truth. When warriors give up the need to be better than or more right than, They stop feeling the need to prove themselves. They learn how to just be. Remember, Jesus says, did not say, do the light of God. He said, be the light of God and let your light so shine. So a skilled, mature warrior is one who has discovered such a strong sense of self that he or she can interact with others who have different opinions and perceptions without losing what they have come to know about themselves. And if you are not discovering, you know, your own truth, not the truth of society, but your own truth, you will fear those around you who have a reality that is different from yours. And you know, that's a common practice in society, right? We're seeing it, that truth all around the world about the idea that if I can't convert you, I need to destroy you. Okay? And we've seen it in around the world in terms of religion, politics, racial and gender differences, you know, in this country, everywhere. That process is, you know, we just not allowing people to be just who they are. As you've heard me say before, Reverend Michelle and also Mary Frances Winters, you know, they're, a lot of what they're teaching in corporations around the world is this idea of unconscious bias, that we are biased, have biases and prejudices that we're not even aware of. All right, that's causing us to act out in a certain way. So as we as warriors learn our lessons more fully, being right or forcing our beliefs on others will become a thing of the past. And so it is up to us as budding, evolving warriors to realize that these arms are not meant to fight or defend ourselves, but these arms are meant, as the bumper sticker says, they're meant for hugging. Now, I'm going to end with this scripture from today's Science of Mind magazine. It says, view all problems as challenges. You hear that? View all problems as challenges. Look upon negative situations that arise as opportunities to learn and grow and to discover a greater sense of yourself. You have a problem? Great. Rejoice. Dive in. Investigate. Adapt. All right. And I had a discussion with my class Wednesday. There's three, I call them kids, in the class that are in their mid-20s, or others are 18, 19 years old. They're in their mid-20s, and one I think is probably in his 30s, I'm guessing. But two of them have spent time in the Marines, and one has spent time in the Air Force. And I said to them, you know, to learn, the chart had to do with the aspects of a salesman. And one was tolerance and being optimistic. So I said to them, you know, when negative stuff comes up in your mind, you have to begin to think about the positive, optimistic side of it. And one of them said, Renee said, well, what we learned in the military is that when you see a problem, you have to observe it as a problem and then observe what that problem is creating. And then you have to adapt to come up with a solution to get through it. Because a lot of them, it's in wartime or whatever. So you got to see, yeah, this is happening. If, you know, this is what the possibility is going to happen. But so there was, the thing was observe and adapt. That's the military thing, observe and adapt. Isn't that neat? All right, and then once she said that, then Sydney and Eric, who also were in the military, they said, yes, that is what we are taught. To observe, yes, that is the problem. But not to wallow in it, because you wallow in it, you ain't got time to wallow in it, because the tank is coming, or whatever's happening. You got to adapt and figure out, how do I get through that? So that's simple, right? Observe and adapt. Come up with a solution. Yeah, I like that, all right? So the affirmation for this week is, I stand in the midst of eternal opportunity, which is forever presenting me with the evidence of its full expression. Amen.